EW to his friends, Eric Wiltshire.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
Welcome back to part two of Postcard from Pop Brad. And as promised, our Doctor Who special starts right now. I have to say thank you to Alex at the BBC press office who helped me out with this. You're a star, sir. Thank you very much indeed. You're going to hear Stephen Mossett, Matt Smith, David Tennant, Jenna Coleman and Joanna Page. It's a Doctor Who delight. Anyway, let's start with Stephen Moffat. When I spoke to him, I started off by saying to him, so, Stephen, where did the story for the Day of the Doctor come from?
I wanted... I was looking very, very hard at what we should do. I didn't want it to just be a celebration of 50 years of the past. I wanted it to be a celebration of the past, but or rather of the mythology, of the legend of the Doctor and all that entails. But that can seem like a headstone. That can seem like a retrospective. That's the worst thing you can do. That feels like a state funeral. I don't want it to be a state funeral. I don't want to be presiding over that. I want it to be the first step on the next journey. I want it to be the 50th anniversary that guarantees the 100th. When I thought of this, I thought, what if it was the most important thing that ever happened to the Doctor? We very rarely do that in Doctor Who. Doctor Who is usually about the people he meets or the companion travels with him. And he has a huge impact on them. And my image of him as a man, I think this is probably true of him as a man, is he has a huge adventure, changes everybody's life, saves a whole solar system, defeats a giant space badger, walks back to the TARDIS, and 10 minutes later, if you asked him about it, he'd be going, well, yeah, I remember that, vaguely, it was quite fun. But what did I do? Never mind, let's go somewhere else. He's not a man who necessarily is changed a lot of the time. He's a soul of Teflon. So now and then, you try and go for a story that absolutely skewers and changes him and defines him, possibly even redefines him.
Now, at the end of the last series, we were introduced to John Hurt as the Doctor. Lots of shocks to everybody. What does John bring to the role? And can you tell us anything about his Doctor, please?
With John Hurt, we have serious acting royalty. We have acting royalty in the show. And that was the intent with John's character. We wanted to say, you know, this is 50 years of Doctor Who. Let's have a visit from our equivalent of royalty, actor royalty. John Hurt, one of the most distinguished film stars of British origin, one of the most distinguished actors this country's produced, has become part of Doctor Who mythology. That's huge and important and a big deal.
Now, the Day of the Doctor will be the first time we all get to see Doctor Who in proper 3D. Was there anything in the script that you wrote with 3D in mind?
My first impulse on 3D was, if we're going to do 3D, it's got to be part of the plot. We can't just do 3D like anyone else does it. Oh, it's another dimension. We actually have to make 3D part of the story. If at all possible, we have to try and make 3D even a bit scary. So, yes, 3D's in it. 3D is part of it. And that's a slightly difficult thing to do, but I wouldn't say it's in every scene, but there's an element of this show that exploits the fact of 3D. Yes.
Now, the 50th special will mark the return of David Tennant, one of the loved Doctors, to the role of the 10th Doctor, starring alongside the 11th Doctor, Matt Smith. How was it having two Doctors on the set?
Two Doctors on set, especially at this particular moment, when both Matt and David look exactly right. You know, they're not coming back to the role 15 years later. David hasn't changed a bit since he played the Doctor, and he's wearing exactly the right costume. Matt obviously hasn't changed a bit since he played the Doctor, since he still is playing the Doctor. It's eye-twisting at times. These two, you don't quite realise how much these two men have become hardwired into your brain as the Doctor. And there's two of them. They're both there at the same time. You think, wow, look, there's two of them. There was obviously, on everybody's part, including mine, including David's, including Matt's, a slight fear, you know, the power share, you know. There's another one, the other king is returning, what do we do? And the returning king's thinking, I'm coming back to a show I haven't been in for several years, what's this going to be like? I can report, it's absolutely true, I'm sure it will be very obvious by the time we get on air. They sort of love each other, Matt and David get on so well, and their interaction on screen is a sublime double act. They are so funny and acute and clever and witty together. Matt said to me, it's a bit like Laurel and Laurel. It's like Hardy didn't turn up. It's just hugely funny from that point of view. They are absolutely great together. Sometimes very, very different. Other times, the moments they choose together, they're exactly the same. Being the actors, they're very keen to say, we're the same person. And now and then you'll just seem to do exactly the same thing. And then they'll diverge again. And then they'll be exactly the same again. I think we should keep them on both of them on permanently. I may lock the studios at the end of this. I want it to be a show that also, for all its allegiance to the past and all that, that actually a new viewer would say, you know, it's time I started watching Doctor Who. That's what I'd like.
Next up, I spoke to Matt Smith during the week. You just can't believe this, can you? It's a Doctor Who's dream. I started by saying to Matt, what's it going to be like starring in the 50th anniversary special, one of the biggest years for the show ever?
Well, it is a thrill to be in the 50th anniversary. I feel very proud to be part of it. I think it's a credit to everyone who started the show back in the 60s that it's come this far. It's great format, great idea, and it's sort of another wonderful thing that is related to being, you know, the Doctor and being part of this show.
Now, the day of the Doctor makes the return of David Tennant, Billy Piper, and yet the revelation that John Hurt's the new Doctor. And what was it like working alongside all of them?
It was a joy to work alongside David and Billy and John Hurt. I mean, I've worked with Billy before, so she's a very good friend. I'd obviously seen all of David's work, especially as a Doctor, and he's a wonderful man and a brilliant actor and a brilliant Doctor. It's quite strange. I always sort of get that surreal thing of going, oh my God, there's Doctor Who over there with Dave, because I sort of came in after him, and he's just a good, you know, I'm really fond of him. And John, you know, acting royalty, another wonderful Doctor, and again, good bloke. And that's that. I think sort of looking back over my tenure on this show has been one of the great privileges has been the quality of actors that you get to work with. And I think, you know, the 50th anniversary is a real nod to the past, but also a sort of a glimpse toward the future.
Now, moving on to some of the stunts. Brilliant. Some pictures have been published of you hanging from the TARDIS in front of crowds in Trafalgar Square.
I was hoisted up like, over 90 feet, like double Nelson's column. And they hang you on a wire and you're under it. And then I was brought down on this huge crane, the biggest crane that I think that they'd used in Trafalgar Square ever or something stupid like that. It was enormous. And they had to put it, you know, actually it was... The actual crane was over the far end of Trafalgar Square, across the road, and was just coming up in the air, and I loved all that. And I had to persuade them to let me go up. But I was like, oh, come on, please, please. And I had the most wonderful view of London. I should have taken a camera attached to me or something. That would have been good. Again, one of the sort of rare, brilliant opportunities that you only get with Who.
Next up on a glorious afternoon, I spoke with David Tennant, and I think we're alongside Matt Smith. They're probably the two best-known doctors at the moment, to some of us anyway. And I started by saying to David, what's it going to be like being part of the 50th? It's one of the biggest years for the show so far.
Obviously, it's very exciting to be around for the big celebration episode, you know. It's the sort of thing that's been being talked about. I mean, the expectation has been, I think, since I left, that I'd end up in this somehow, because there is a precedent, I guess, for old doctors coming back for a visit around the anniversary time. But it was really only relatively recently that it became a definite thing. So I was thrilled, because it's a huge thing for Doctor Who, and it's a huge thing for sort of television in general. So few shows run beyond a few series. 50 years worth is quite a legacy. So I'm very honoured to be part of that.
And David, what's it like working with Matt and Jenna? Was there any rivalry or other kind of conflicts going on between the two sets of doctors and their companions?
It's funny. I think people almost expect Matt and I to kind of be at loggerheads somehow. But we've really enjoyed it. We've really enjoyed.
I guess when you play a character for a long time and you kind of feel like you know how they'll react in most situations, it's delicious to be handed a situation that's completely new. And a character meeting a version of himself is not something you come across in a lot of drama. It's quite unique to Doctor Who. So to get to play that and to get to play it with someone as talented and as quick and as brilliant as Matt is nothing short of jolly good fun, quite frankly.
Now, I know you know about the history and have watched so many of the shows. You've probably seen some of the previous anniversary specials, but how do you think this one will compare to them?
Oh, it's very hard to be objective about something you're in when you set it up against things that you experienced as a child. But I certainly remember I was 12, I think, when The Five Doctors was on, which was the 20th anniversary special. That makes me sound very old. But I remember as a 12-year-old, it was electrically exciting. That, of course, was in the day when we didn't even have... our family didn't even have a video player, so you couldn't revisit things. So the chance to see old Doctors that I'd never seen on the telly at all interacting with the current was fantastically exciting. I just hope that this will have some of that buzz for today's generation. Just that this character that you love and that you have loved different versions of, and you can see them all together on screen and how will they bounce off each other and what will happen. It's exciting and so unique to Doctor Who I think it will... I don't know how it will compare. That's up to people other than me to decide. But I'm certainly very excited to be part of one of these television events that I enjoyed when I was so much younger.
Now, when I told my colleague I was going to be talking to this young lady, he said, get her to give me a shout out. No, absolutely not. Talking with Jenna Coleman next. And I started by saying to her, what's it like starring in the 50th special, one of the biggest years ever for the show?
It's fantastic. I just feel really spoiled, to be honest, and lucky to have to be in the show in the first place, but also to have, you know, come in at this time. But it's just, I feel very privileged just to be involved in something that whilst we're filming on set, it all feels very celebratory and just really kind of special. And, you know, working with David and Billy and John, and I just kind of feel really pleased to have been part of the whole thing.
And how do you see the difference filming in 3D compared to 2D?
Loads of differences. I think, for a start, the cameras are massive, so you kind of can't miss them, and they're really, really heavy for the poor camera operators. But it's kind of like framing is quite different, and things like with when Matt, the 11th Doctor, points, you can kind of really react to it. I just think the show lends itself so, so well, and there's so many moments in it, like the fairs, and that are just going to really lend itself to 3D. And also on the first day when I saw Matt in the TARDIS in 3D, and kind of like the world is just coming right out at you. One of the big sequences in the beginning of the episode where the TARDIS gets lowered into Trafalgar Square, kind of on a big crane and a helicopter. We actually filmed it in a couple of stages. One was at St. Athens Airfield, where me and Matt were in the TARDIS being swung from side to side, literally. And then the second half being actually lowered down into Trafalgar Square. I just think it will be quite an iconic image, just having the 11th Doctor hanging from the bottom of it. It felt like that on the day.
And finally, on our Doctor Who 50th anniversary special, oh boys, it's time to talk to Joanna Page. Aren't I lucky? I started by saying to her, what's it like being part of the 50th, one of the biggest shows that's ever been held?
It's just amazing being part of the 50th anniversary. I just remember getting an email saying, will you play Queen Elizabeth I? That, you know, in itself was just, I can't believe it, because, you know, it's such an iconic character, and her history of being in Doctor Who, and that, you know, she's rumoured to have married the Doctor and everything, and to then be playing the character, and then also being the 50th anniversary. I've always wanted to be in Doctor Who, and now to actually be in it playing Queen Elizabeth is absolutely fantastic. So exciting.
And what was it like working with Matt, David, Billy and Jenna?
It's quite scary working with Matt and David and Billy and Jenna because, you know, they're iconic and they're, you know, these major, major characters that I've watched and, you know, are part of Doctor Who history. And it's really funny acting with them because you look at them and they're almost like cartoon characters because you've seen them so much and you've watched them and you believe them. They are the characters to you and that you've watched, and then you're suddenly working with them and then pretending, you know, that you know them and everything. And so it's just been fascinating. And working with the two doctors is brilliant because it's the same character, but seeing how the two, you know, the two boys just play them completely differently and how they just work off each other. And they're so fast and dynamic and sparky, and it's just, it's really, really funny as well. After reading the script and then hearing it all in the read through, it just all came to life, and I just thought, wow, this is going to be fantastic.
Now, there's a little bit of romance between Queen Elizabeth and the 10th Doctor. What was it like filming those scenes?
Filming, you know, the romantic scenes was quite difficult because my first day was on top of a mountain in Neath. It was absolutely freezing. It was blowing a gale, and David, the 10th Doctor and I are having a picnic, and so I'm lying across him. He probably couldn't breathe because I've just got this massive costume on, and he's feeding me grapes as I'm like that, just desperately shivering. So, and then you've got to just try and look really romantic and relaxed and everything when actually you're freezing cold. I think our lips were turning blue, and I stopped feeling my hands. And then the next day, because it had been so cold with the wind, my hands were bright red and just all blistered because they were so chapped with the wind. So you think, you know, everybody probably is really jealous because they're thinking, oh, she gets, you know, to kiss the 10th Doctor and it's all romantic. It's not. My lips were numb and my hands were chapped.
And where will you be watching the episode?
I'm going to be watching the episode in my living room. My husband now, he's been asking for ages if we can buy a 3D TV, and I've said no. But now, after putting the glasses on myself and watching it, it's fantastic. And so I've said we have to get a 3D TV. So we'll be watching it in the living room with all my family round. And then I'll probably, you know, then go to the cinema and watch it as well.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.
R-E-I. Oh. Excuse. I'm reliving that afternoon where I was talking to all these fellas and
it was a really good stuff.
Was it? Did I do all right, Mr. Sub-Editor?
I think as a general sort of interview, probably one of the first you've done in your life, I have to like say. Few mistakes, any wonder, Rachel?
Oh, a couple. Nothing. I'd really not say on the air. I think you do it in night at the production meeting.
You did all right.
Thank you.
I could have done it better, or Rachel could.
Yeah.
We never got the chance, did we, Rachel?
Anyway, I want to say, once again, thank you to Alex at the BBC Press Office for making that all happen. You're a gentleman, sir. Bless your heart. And don't forget the 50th edition on later this month. It will go global, that's for sure.
It will.
And I just can't wait to see it.
Slovakia is a bit like the Sardis, isn't it?
Got the little big country.
Exactly. And you thought so was going to be controversial. No, that's exactly what I was going to say. It is. It's a small country which opens up into this incredible land that's bigger than your dreams ever could be.
Well, yes, that's because I'm here.
By that logic, I'm a TARDIS.
Anyway, question for Rachel. Would you take a driverless cab?
I would. And
would you?
The primary reason I would do it...
Why?
Is...
If you were drunk.
Because I don't drink. The malodorous cab drivers that I have detected, particularly in Darwin, as it's a sweaty kind of town.
Right.
I'd do it to get rid of the pungentness of it all. But would I get in a car that's not being driven by anybody? The way they drive around here? Absolutely.
You need to be safer. Yeah. Anyway, the point of the story is £1.5 million is being spent on a project to design and construct the first driverless vehicles to run in Milton Keynes in the UK. Now, it has to be said that these cars will be on their own little road, a bit like a cycle track.
Yeah.
But they will only travel at 12 miles an hour. And initially I'm going, I don't like this story. I'm very unhappy with this. But then I thought to myself, hang on a minute. In the rush hour, if big cities had one of these tracks, because these cars are only going to go at 12 miles an hour. In typical cities, you're lucky to do 2 or 3 miles an hour.
He's making a good point.
Yeah, I guess. Typical cities? Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see your point. I have a personal experience to tell you about these driverless cars, if I may indulge for 30 seconds.
Go on, then.
Well, you actually know this story, Eric, and some of the listeners might, but...
Your missus left the car?
Yeah, my young lady, Andrea, actually sat in a driverless car and was driven around the car park of a local supermarket. The reason being, and this is the truth, ladies and gentlemen, because I got out of the car to have a word with a bloke who just walked in front of my car and nearly got killed and then made a gesticulation against me, which I did not particularly like. So, anyway, I'm remonstrating with this bloke in the car park and somebody comes up to me and says, listen, mate, your Bentley's rolling away. So I'm like, it's all right, my missus is in it. Anyway, all of a sudden I looked, I thought, it definitely is, and it's about to crash. So I ran down the car park. I am very old. I am 37 years old. I ran down the car park, jumped in the driver's seat like James Bond or Doctor Who, and I looked at Andrea and said, do you realise the car's rolling away? She says, no. Well, I said, why? She said, I was texting.
Texting while not driving, has it?
Yeah, texting while not driving in my Bentley.
Anyway, Dublin police have aired an appeal this week, which seems a bit bizarre, but they did, to find a mystery girl who they first of all thought was about 14. Then they thought she was from Eastern Europe because she wasn't talking to anybody. She just wouldn't talk to anybody.
Bizarre story.
Yeah, and so they put this TV appeal out.
And ideal wife, though, isn't she?
Well, then, do you know where she's from?
Mm-hmm.
Australia.
She's from here. She's one of ours. Since then, they have actually discovered the identity of this girl.
Where's she from?
She's from Australia. I don't know how much I can actually say. And they're really sketchy on the details.
All right.
Thus far, they're only saying Australia. Pardon?
Do we know why she was in Dublin?
We don't know. Her stepfather lives in Tipperary.
Oh,
interesting.
Yeah, and it turns out that she's known to Australian police.
For what?
For what we think is doing, basically being a con woman.
Oh.
And doing some pretty sketchy things in terms of our government welfare system and various other nefarious activities. But she's known to police, and it was determined by the guys in Dublin, the court in Dublin, that she wasn't. She's got some sort of mental health issue, but not sick enough for them to hold her. So she was popped on a plane, and she's on her way back.
All right.
So she's a naughty girl.
She's a naughty girl, yeah.
Okay. Final question as we run out of time. Is alcohol testing at work a good idea?
Very good idea. Make sure your alcohol at work is absolutely pure and will do you no harm except to get you drunk.
Yes, it's a great idea because you don't know, especially if you're on a work site like where my Robbie goes every day, they have random drug and alcohol testing all the time.
Do they?
It's a health and safety issue. Okay. Yeah, it's a health and safety issue.
Rob?
No, well, you'd think so. You know, given recent events, you would think so. But no, it's not just for him. Apparently a couple of other people like a drink. But yeah, it's a health and safety issue on work sites, and it should be. If you work in an office, I don't know that it's particularly relevant, but if they're trying to, I think the point of this was stamping out people who have got problems with alcohol, and I really think that it's a grey area. It's messy.
I don't think, though, we'd ever see a newspaper on the street, finished and printed, if alcohol was banned in certain places.
Well, I can remember being on the news desk of the Daily Star in...
This is, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't know the Daily Star, headline, Elvis Presley found on the moon.
Oh, yeah. Charlie Minogue's an alien. Yeah, gotcha.
He was on a bus. But, no, this is the way it happened. This is why I'm going to give you a quick thumbnail of what life on the news desk used to be like. I'm not saying it is now, but it almost, well, it is. Anyway, and we had in front of us, as we sat around the news desk, there were seven of us, we had four bottles of wine, eight cans of lager, and a bottle of whiskey, and that was how we conducted our business until we then went into the editor's office where we all got a brandy. Then it was 5:30, so we went to the pub.
Yeah, and you believe things that people write in newspapers? My God.
Beer goggles make everything look different.
They do indeed. And finally, in Australia, Miley Cyrus's new video, there's people been complaining about it down under. stop it. And my answer to this one is, it's your fault if you don't like your kids watching this video.
Yeah,
because you're in charge of the telly, and I have a couple of things for you to look at. The first one is Top of the Pops from the 1970s.
I rest my case, because that was my case.
And I can't say the words on air, because I would be told off.
What are they?
But they you're right. There used to be a programme on the television called Captain Pugwash.
Absolutely!
Look at this. Look it up on the internet and see what the characters are. And if you're telling me... If you're telling me that Miley Cyrus is worse than Captain Pugwash and Pan's people from the 1970s, I might start to eat a computer screen.
Would you?
Yeah, I might.
Until it's reached its sell-by date.
Because it is nuts. This has been going on for donkey's years. And the fact is, now, because somebody can put a website up, they can go and complain about it. If you want to stop your kids watching explicit...
Siley Myers.
Yep. Then you control the television.
Do you think Siley Myers is an obstacle?
No, she's not.
She's not. She's just a good-looking young lady.
Yeah, exactly.
Volley Morris or Molly Virus, whatever her name is. It's not about her. It's about people doing this new fandangled thing they call helicopter parenting.
Yes.
Where they hover over the top of their child, and all it does is create these little tiny neurotic human beings. So vote with your remote. Honestly, you have to make an informed decision and say, you know what, this is inappropriate. I think we'll change the channel to play school or Sesame Street or whatever.
That's it. But that's the end of Postcard from PopRad for the this particular week where we celebrated 50 years of Doctor Who.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.